Do you know someone who has a green thumb? You know, someone who it seems could make anything they touch grow. Well, when it comes to indoor houseplants, my wife and I found out quickly that we have the opposite of what you would call a green thumb. Early in our marriage, we tried to care for several plants in our first apartments, but no matter how hard we tried, they would end up withering away and dying. It got so we felt bad when someone would gift us a plant because we knew, despite our best efforts, that plant would just end up like all the other ones, dead. Then, one year, we received a plant. It's called a Christmas cactus. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with that plant, but Christmas cactuses are a succulent plant. They've got stems made of thick, kind of a dull green waxy leaf. And usually in the winter, thus the name Christmas, they bloom with beautiful deep pink blossoms at the end of every stem. They bloom for a few months, then lose their blossoms for the rest of the year until the next winter. We were told they were pretty easy to care for, so maybe, we thought, we had a chance with this one. Sure enough, that winter, beautiful pink blossoms. We thought we'd finally figured it out. Maybe we could raise houseplants. However, the next year we were disappointed to find that no blooms came. And the year after that as well. We were watering it just like the directions told us to, but nothing. It was just the dull green color it had been all year. It was as if the plant was dead. We thought we had ruined another gift. Then, to our surprise, the next winter blooms again, blossoms. The cactus had bloomed with those bright pink flowers once again. We had no idea why. It was a mystery to us. What had looked like a ruined, dead plant was now blooming with life. Our text for today relates a much more amazing mystery than a houseplant seemingly coming back to life. It speaks of something that was truly dead, being changed into something very much alive. Turn your attention now to our text from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Perishable, ruined, dead. Those descriptions can apply to houseplants, but they can also apply to people. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians. The well-known Lutheran hymn calls us sinners ruined by the fall. These are apt descriptions for all people, as they naturally are when they come into this world. Dead and ruined. Humans weren't always like this. God created the first humans as perfect, like he did the rest of his creation. He proclaimed Adam and Eve, along with everything else, very good. They were not only physically perfect, without any defects, diseases, or handicaps, they were spiritually perfect, completely connected with God, finding joy and purpose in living as he wanted them to. God's intent for humans was that they be immortal, imperishable, not die. But then all of that changed. Satan succeeded in convincing Adam and Eve to doubt whether God's command to not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil really was the best thing for them. And so, filled with their own pride, they doubted God's will and ate. At that moment, they changed from immortal, perfect, and imperishable to ruined, perishable, doomed to die sinners. Not only were they now cursed physically, they would experience pain. Work would be hard. Their bodies would die. They were now cursed by sin. And all of the human race from then on would be born under that curse, as our text says, unable to inherit the kingdom of God. God's creation ruined by man's sin. But our loving Father, in his great mercy, had a plan to save us. First promised to Adam and Eve, immediately after they were confronted with their sin, his plan would be to restore humanity to the immortality and connection with God that they once had. He would send his Son to take on that perishable flesh and blood. Jesus would endure pain, suffering, and sadness, and would endure separation from his Father on the cross. And then he would die on that cross and be buried. To all looking on that first Good Friday, he looked ruined and perishable. But as we just celebrated this past Sunday, he wouldn't stay dead. No, his body would be changed, glorious and eternal. As the angel said on that first Easter morning, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen." What a joy that we can say that Jesus is risen. So what does the fact that Christ is risen mean for you and me? In our natural state, humans are born spiritually stone-cold dead, like a lifeless houseplant. They may look alive on the outside, walking, talking, breathing, but inside, incapable of believing, loving, or serving God. However, as the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians, while we were still dead in our trespasses, God made us alive in Christ. Now, instead of being incapable of obeying, loving, and serving God, we have the image of God restored and Christ's perfection covering us. We are no longer ruined and dead, but alive and changed. Our text from 1 Corinthians speaks of another change that will occur because of the risen Christ. Although we are made new spiritually, our perishable bodies are still with us, reminding us of the sin that we still wrestle with daily. But that is where Paul speaks of the mystery in our text. Our mortal, perishable bodies will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The perishable will become imperishable, and the mortal will become immortal. Like that Christmas cactus, which was once a lifeless, dull plant and was changed into a vibrant, beautiful one, our sin-cursed, corrupted bodies will be changed and restored to immortal, eternal ones, and united with our souls to join the risen Christ for eternity. As the stresses, anxieties, and hard times of daily life in the weeks ahead inevitably start to take over, and the afterglow of Easter seemingly begins to fade, we might wonder at times about that newness of life. As we daily struggle with temptations and sin, we might wonder, do I really have that newness of life? Am I really among those that are changed and alive? At those times, as Pastor Schaller at the Sunrise Easter service reminded us, turn to the words recorded in 1 Peter 3:21. And corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the guarantee of a good conscience before God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus is what makes us confident, not how we feel. We may be burdened each day by struggles and sin, but his resurrection assures us that by our baptisms, through which we were buried with Christ, but also raised with him, we are saved and our consciences are clean. The risen Christ is what gives us comfort and hope in our sin-cursed world. First, we can be confident that through our baptisms, we are forgiven, changed, and have the power to walk in Christ. Second, we know this world will not last in the condition it is in, but will also go from ruined to completely restored. Third, we can rest assured in the knowledge that because Christ is risen, not dead, those loved ones of ours who have died in the Lord will one day be alive with him and be changed to immortality forever. Finally, we know that death is not the end for us. For always remember, because your Savior Jesus Christ is risen, you are no longer ruined, dead sinners, but forever changed and alive in Christ. Amen. We'll close our worship this morning with worship supplement 728, verses 1 and 2. 728, 1 and 2.